the Cube. I think a lot of people wanted to know about it.
It was a super fun thing to do as a new event to create hype and some buzz and kind of leverage the YouTube golf space. I think it was really smart. Being able to participate in it was a lot of fun. Very different golf than what we do on a weekly basis. I enjoyed it. You know, I'll never be one round away from the PGA Tour, which is pretty freaking crazy.
We did a fireball challenge with Foreplay. We didn't see it coming. Like, the fireball challenge that we've done is probably the drunkest that I've been of all the challenges that we've done, like over the beer ones and everything. Big announcement, the Breezy Open. We got two new ones. We got June 28th, Breezy Open in New York at Harrison Meadows Country Club, and then the Breezy Open in Colorado.
Colorado?
Which is,
I've never been to Colorado.
Denver. Neither have I. You want to start shouting out Brendan Jones?
You started. You were about to.
Would you say one of the best producers, just producer on producer love?
I think he's the best.
He's fantastic.
He's better than you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta be.
Wow. And you know what? If you asked Brendan would say that Jet's better than
you. No, he's a professional. Respect. The guy came from the MLB Network.
I love Brendan Jones, but made the right choice. I think the Yaman is the greatest of all time.
To ever do it?
Yeah, he'll probably kill me after this podcast.
No, I disagree.
I gotta share my opinion. I always do. I'll never steer away from it.
I'll say I'm a lucky guy.
Yaman is a trendsetter.
You created your own luck. Like you say, you're lucky, sure. But you created that.
I always say I never say this, but I only started getting lucky once I started working hard.
Sure.
You know?
There's stages of luck. There's like three or four like levels of luck, and some of it's just like blind lottery luck, some of it's like right place, right time luck, right. And some of it's like grinding, hard work, got lucky luck. That's not the same level of luck.
They say luck is when hard work meets opportunity.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you think you've created your own luck, Joey D?
I don't know what. I have a question for Yaman. Yeah. Would you say you're a big believer in manifesting your destiny?
No, absolutely.
Talking about manifest destiny.
Manifest destiny.
I'm a believer in working hard, but that's the manifest.
Well, not as much lately. Now you got Tick and Jensen doing some more stuff now.
Wow. No, but I'm saying
the last couple times, Bob, you said he's hold on a second,
taking a couple innings off. I take a couple plays off
for filming, for sure.
Oh,
filming.
Doesn't
mean that he hasn't lost that. I think he's gotten to the point now where he doesn't have to worry.
Even Tom Brady doesn't play defense, dude. You don't play
every snap. It's actually a testament to him that he's gotten to the point now where he can take a step back and he can delegate.
I don't take a step back. I think that success is rooted in hard work.
What are these?
Yeah, just saying. He's a big TikTok motivational guy.
These posters all over your apartment.
No, I'm not a poster guy either. I'm just saying.
He's questioning my work ethic.
Like impossible is nothing Muhammad Ali like poster.
The guy's questioning my work ethic.
I also said you're the greatest of all time to ever do it. I'm saying
after Brendan Jones.
What I'm saying is that I think you used to have to work harder. Now you've created a little thing that where you can start to delegate and you can take a step back and start seeing what the next step is now.
Sure.
What's the next step?
Just working hard, you know.
Clown.
That's awesome.
Clown,
if you weren't with Bob DeSports, where do you think you'd be today, Yums?
Somewhere.
Working for...
I'd probably be working at like Barstool.
Eric Anders Lang?
No, I don't. I actually edited a couple videos for Eric Anders Lang back in the day. He doesn't have a clue. He sent me like some merch. I have a random golf club towel.
Yeah. All right, boys. Well, we don't have the par 3 Poppy today. But somehow, Poppy thought that this was going to be a Zoom pod. And I thought that it was very, very clear that this is not a Zoom pod. Like,
we haven't done a Zoom pod in forever.
Clearly not a Zoom pod.
I talked to him before we started this, and he's like, all right, I'll see you in a bit.
The days like...
Wait, today he
talked? I talked to him this morning. Yeah.
And the days leading in was clearly like your place in the morning. Like
100%.
I think my guess is that he woke up late, knew he was not going to get here on time, and thought his only play was to act like he always thought it was a Zoom pod.
I spoke to him this morning.
That, and honestly, that I can kind of like, I like that move.
Excuse
a little bit more than I like just literally not ever thinking we were doing
this. That's not what happened. I spoke to him this morning. We're like, he's like 10:30, and I was like, I think it's 10 because we're going to Tesoro after. And then I guess he asked you, and you said 10. So he logged in at 10.
Yeah,
the StreamYard.
I don't know where he logged in because there was no link.
Yeah, he asked at 10 a.m. He's like, "Where's the link?"
You know what? I think he's full of shit. I think he's absolutely full of shit.
He started running late.
Oh,
and then was
man.
Just like, "I'm gonna play this."
When I talked to him, he was a little groggy.
Oh, there it is.
We did film.
We filmed The Sportsman till almost 11 o'clock.
Oh, the horrors!
We had an hour and 40 minute pod.
These guys were talking sports.
Nobody cares.
These guys were doing Who's the Problem at 10:56.
I'm not making excuses. I'm saying that.
I didn't think that was fair, Joey.
I'm kidding.
I didn't think that was fair.
He's still holding that work comment that I made, which it wasn't a shot. He's holding
that was
it against
a little unfair.
I was kidding. But my point was,
we didn't finish till almost 11. He probably didn't get to bed till late, so that would clue in with the that would tie in with the fact that maybe he slept in.
It's amazing you did that podcast after the fireball.
Were you hammered?
Challenge. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dick said that you were eating Chipotle and could barely string a sentence together.
No, it was I had Jersey Mike's and then I got...
Oh, Jersey Mike's is what he said, yeah.
Culver's after.
What?
Yeah, I go on binge. I've been having like bad binge eating.
What the fuck was... What's Culver's?
You know, Culver's is new to the area. It's new on Postmates.
Isn't that J.J. Watts?
Yeah.
It's a Midwest.
We had it in... When you guys were doing,
his favorite.
I had it. Yeah, you guys were doing the PGA Tour Superstore thing.
Didn't your dad say that's his favorite in the episode when you asked Kevin Stuhle what his favorite?
Did he say
said
that?
Culver's. Really? It's a Wisconsin staple or something like that.
It's not even.
It's all the cheese that they put on the burger or something.
He's a cheese curd guy.
No, he doesn't like cheese.
He doesn't like cheese.
No.
Fred sent a picture a while back, but it resurfaced the other day of Fred's dad in a Buffalo Sabres jersey. He's in like a goalie jersey.
It's a jersey hoodie.
Yeah,
It's a hoodie. Clearly just a hoodie in the design of a jersey with pajama pants and Adidas slides.
It's unreal.
Passed out in a chair.
With his cocktail next to him?
Three quarters of a cocktail next to him. Yeah.
He had those old Adidas sandals that had the nibs on them. You know, like where you put your foot on it, it like rub up against
it. It's one of my favorite photos.
That's how he goes to bed every night. He spends half the night sleeping like that on that chair. And then he wakes up at like 3 a.m.
That's what I used to
do. Or like 2 a.m. and he's like, oh, like, whoa. And
then, even though he did it like every night.
Whoa. And then he like goes into bed. And so then like he wakes up in the morning and like it's like nothing happened.
He just does that every day. On the couch late at night. I'd wake up at like 2-3 a.m. and I'd just saunter into bed.
But you would also fall asleep on the floor.
Sometimes, yeah.
Which is Mr. DeMar Sr. would do that.
Yeah. I like to feel grounded, you know, like right down. And there's a nice carpeting. There's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, dude. Don't make it so.
I also had a shitty couch.
You did.
I had a shitty couch.
It kind of sucked.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I appreciate you opening it up.
Yeah, listen, but the bottom line is I didn't have the best couch to lay on. So sometimes laying on the carpeted floor was actually more comfortable, which is a wild statement.
It's the biggest purchase in the, like, you can get anything else. You can get IKEA, everything else. You just got to do the couch right. And then after that, it can all...
I just ordered a new couch.
You just got a new couch.
Did you?
Yeah, a new couch.
It's going to be a month before I get it, maybe 6 weeks.
Six?
How difficult was this couch to get up through here? Difficult?
They come and they
figured it was no problem?
The movers did it. You could take it off by sections.
Okay. I keep getting like, they're like following up whether or not it's a whole thing. They're confirmed. I can't return it. So like you got to make sure it fucking fits or like you fucked.
Nowadays, anytime you order something, it's a minimum 6 to 8 weeks before you get it.
Yours is even longer.
Mine's like June 1st to June 15th. So it's like months.
Do they just not have it in stock?
A lot of them come from overseas or like European or something and then it's fucking forever.
But you would think they would get some inventory.
It just depends on where you're buying it from. Like if you buy it from like some like kind of down the middle furniture store, they've got like a couple options. They've got it in stock. Like you had a place like a Pottery Barn where they've got like multiple fabrics and you like pick something out.
Yeah,
they don't carry every couch.
That's what I've
done. The 20 fabrics that they have, right? They got a fucking custom essentially make the couch for you.
There's just so many Pottery Barns out there though that you would think that they would.
No, but they almost offer too much.
Yeah, they're a big
chain. Fabric standpoint, that because it is so nice, they have a lot of options, but you can't possibly carry every combination of furniture and every combination
No, you can't.
Of things like ready to go.
I got respect for those the furniture delivery guys.
Oh,
because they work like dogs, man. And
you seen the ones that have like the you ever had a mover that's had like the like a rope almost? Like they like leverage these like string and rope.
Over
able to, like, carry a bunch of shit like over
yeah.
And, like, you know what I'm talking about, like
their backs must
they can carry the craziest 10 shit
years later
with just these like rope that they like it's crazy it's I dude that's like back-breaking shit dog
I 100%. Think the toughest job in the world is to be a professional mover.
Oh,
think about moving your apartment every day. Nothing worse.
There's nothing worse than
just a new place every fucking day with no end in sight.
Mind you, a lot of times those guys, I'm fascinated by it. So when they came for me, I was asking them questions.
Sure.
They said a lot of times we do two a day, sometimes three a day.
That's insane.
Oh, how no. That's absolutely fucking crazy.
Oh.
Speaking of crazy, here
wow.
comes.
Wow. Oh, is this going to be good, wow. man? Wow. Is this going to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's in shorts. Wow. He's in shorts.
Wow. Look at this guy.
That's a good look.
Short. You look good.
You know what? You thinned
That's
out.
That's a good look.
You look good. You thinned out.
You definitely have thinned out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you
yeah,
did.
Yeah,
wow.
You look really good.
Whoa.
And wow. You know what? This looks good.
Yeah, this looks good.
Yeah, the like ankle. Socks. Good. Yeah, dude.
Wow, pop.
What's now you got up? Some explaining to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Grab him. Can we give him, can we bring him in?
Did you ever take really seat, think Bob. It was a Zoom pod?
Bob, take a seat. Sit down. Okay. Sit down. Sit down. Come talk to us, Bob. You look good. You really do.
Yeah, you really
this
do.
This is the best you've looked in a while.
I'm gonna need some like some pointers, dog.
Yeah, no, I got you, dog. Blood, sweat, tears, discipline.
Are those new kicks too?
Yeah. Yes.
I got a haircut.
You look oh my really God.
I'm a
good,
new guy,
Pop.
Man. Yeah.
Holy wow. shit.
Pop
now,
is
if only I was
rolling.
On time.
Did you really think it was a Zoom pod, or did you wake up late and that was your out?
No, I was talking to Bob about half an hour before this thing started, and I should have known because I was like, yeah, we got to do a quick pod because it's about 50 minutes from where I am. And he goes, yeah, but it's only 40 minutes from me. And I go, yeah, but for me, it's 50. And so when he said 40, I should have known it was here.
Hey, boy.
Dude, I was sitting at 10 a.m. with my coffee, sitting in front of my laptop, making sure that I was hand up, though. On me.
I mean, look.
The hand up,
that hand up goes
I'm
up.
I'm really ashamed of myself, though. I should. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking.
Jet asked. I don't know if you can hear that, but Jet asked, "How did you get so thin so fast?"
I don't eat anymore. I it's a sad
we haven't
life.
Had a trip in a while.
That is true.
It's
been a long time.
True. And then I was there was a period there during the Masters where I was at Bob's for like 4 days straight, and every time I came over, he's like, "We got Grimaldi's."
And that's like a 400-pound motherfucker.
And I was like, "Dude, I'm trying to be on a diet." And there was one night we were watching UFC, and I ate all the pizza. I ate all of it. We had Vinny's
great
pizza.
Night.
It was a great night, but
great
I had
night. Great
all
pie
of the pizza.
Too.
It was
just
great
a cheat
pie.
Day. You know, you got to have cheat one. Day. If you have one cheat day a fucking month,
sure,
then you're going to be all right.
Oh, sure. Oh. I've had a few.
You well, like one him, a week. It sounds, you know,
yeah,
you got it. You got to do it. You'll collapse.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't do the cheat day, then eventually I find that you'll just sputter out. The cheat day. The cheat day is what keeps you going,
mm-hmm.
right? It gives you that little taste, that little lavish taste.
Absolutely.
In the midst of all the hell. And then you could keep, you could actually last longer with the diet that you're doing on with the spurt of a cheat day here or there than if you don't. And then you just completely fall off the wagon.
Yeah, sure. I had heard that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's fine to have a cheat day. My cheat days have gone a little, it's too much.
I can't believe that you got... I mean, I saw the Jersey Mike's because you had to wait in my car to let the guy drop it off.
You
two subs.
Two subs?
And then you ordered.
Why did you do the Giant?
And it was 8:30. How did you even have time to order Culver's?
I did a regular cheesesteak, and then I did a mini Italian, and then I did a burger and fries and a milkshake from Culver's.
You ate it all.
I left half of the milkshake.
How is Culver's? Is it good?
Pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty solid. But yeah, no, and then you wake up and you feel awful. I worked out this morning, but it was a grind.
I worked out.
For reference too, we did the fireball challenge with Foreplay yesterday, and we didn't see it coming. Like, I think when you do the fireball challenge that we've done is probably the drunkest that I've been of all the challenges that we've done, like over the beer ones and everything. So they had a fireball concept in the first nine holes and then hit us with fireball challenge in the next nine holes.
And but it wasn't just, actually built in like a fireball challenge.
It turned out that way, kind of, yeah.
You know, we were slinging the rock yesterday. It was Mr. Stubbyville was on fire.
Oh, pretty good yesterday.
They were like baffled how good he was playing.
I know, we're just used to it.
I said to Trent at one point, I'm like, how does it feel playing with Mr. Perez? Honestly, feels really nice. I'm like, yeah, that's us on a regular dog. That's us on a normal basis.
Trent might be the nicest guy in social media.
Yeah, he really
is. He's just such a nice, just a genuine nice guy. And then like, we played against him, and I'm out rooting for his shots. Like, you find yourself kind of rooting for, you want him to hit a good shot.
He makes a big putt, then you're like, oh, that just kind of banged us.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, nice shot. Take that, baby. And he's very, very likable. He really is.
We're talking about Book It with Trent, right?
Talking about luggage Trent guy. Luggage guy Trent.
Luggage guy Trent.
Luggage guy Trent.
Who's that?
That's Trent. The Bachelor.
Is this okay? Are these okay?
Sure.
I think so. I wouldn't. You would have told me. I think they're fine.
At this point, it's fine.
You brighten it up
a
little bit.
It's really okay now.
Hey, we could have been on Zoom. At least we beat that.
Got him.
Oh, boy.
I'm so goddamn ashamed of myself.
You shouldn't, because you look like a monster right now.
No excuse.
Wow.
No excuse.
Yummin.
However,
it's a wild thought. It really is.
In my head, I talked to you last night. I knew you were in town, but for some reason, my brain just, I don't know. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was dead wrong.
The fat's clearing out, and all your synapses are firing a little different.
I was smarter as a fat guy.
It's like when George Costanza stops having sex and he becomes the smartest he's ever been.
Sure.
But the opposite of that, so like yours with your weight.
You're starting to look like Josh Allen.
Lots of sex.
If everything went right.
Went correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a funny line.
Yeah. You know, the shorts, but I thought we're seeing the shorts. You should go shorts now all the time.
You think so?
Yeah, shorts. Yeah, man.
Yeah. It looks okay.
Shoes, it's great. Yeah.
You get a little sun on you down there, and it's going to be good.
It is white.
Yeah, but crispy in no time.
It's only one way to change that.
How do you think this alabaster skin's going to fare out
not
there?
Well.
The whole outfit with the shorts look good.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. I don't deserve this right now, but I appreciate it.
We've
sure
lost
do.
Three B camps to the sun already this year.
How do you think you'll fare out there?
Not well. Not well at all.
The greens.
Yeah. We call that fucking green the Widowmaker, dude.
You think getting hits your worst nightmare? It's the fucking sun, dude. You think you're stronger than the sun?
You see a ball coming, dude.
Fellas, big announcement. Big announcement that I think we could definitely roll out now. The Breezy Open. Not the Breezy Invitational anymore. Now the Breezy Open. We got two new ones. We got June 28th, Breezy Open in New York at Harrison Meadows Country Club. And then the Breezy Open in Colorado.
Colorado?
Which is
I've never been to Colorado.
Denver. Neither have I. Yeah.
Mile High.
We went to the airport. We sat in there for a layover.
Big airport.
We did? On the way to Cincinnati. Yeah, you remember
big
that?
Big old airport.
Oh, yeah, but I don't count that as being.
I'm just saying.
Didn't you have a layover there for like 24 hours and just found a way onto a golf course?
I got kind of banged with some delayed flights. So, yeah, I ended up having to stay the night.
Oh, I remember.
And I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to stay the night, I may as well just bump my flight. Why am I going to fly out super early? I'll fly out in the evening. And then, yeah, I found a way to play some golf at Denver Country Clubs. Very
wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Had my clubs. I mean, why not?
Sure, you did.
It's a nice place. It's obviously you're at altitude, so you hit the ball further. You hit the ball like 10, 15% further. So you have to like factor that into like yardages and shit.
That's wild.
You're like a mouse to cheese, man. You will find a course wherever you are.
I'm going to play some golf, dog.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Sure will.
100%.
But yeah, good one. So running it back in New York, and then Colorado people probably didn't see coming, which is cool because I do think there's a pretty big demographic out there, and I think we could have a whole
it's
lot
gonna
of
be
fun.
Beautiful there in July too. A little bit cooler. Should be a little cooler than your average like East Coast summer.
Mountain golf is special. When I was living in in Canada and playing mountain golf, I think playing near the ocean is my favorite, but like a close second is like being up in the mountains.
That track in Canada.
In Whistler?
Up in Whistler.
Yeah. what did you call him during basketball? The Barnaby bucket, like where he was like he was making references.
Burnaby
bucket.
The Burnaby bucket.
The Burnaby barn burner.
So be on the lookout for that. We're gonna be putting on our Instagram accounts, you know, where you can go and get tickets
today.
Today's Wednesday.
This will probably come out on Thursday because we have FP at the Q coming out on Friday.
Tickets are out tomorrow.
That's the next topic of conversation, the Q. Now, we couldn't talk anything about it. I think a lot of people wanted to know about it. So, Stu, I'll give you the floor. Your thoughts on the Q.
It was a super fun thing to do, super good idea for Myrtle Beach as a whole and for the Myrtle Beach Classic, which is a kind of first year tour event, opposite field to the Wells Fargo. So for them as a new event to create some hype and some buzz and kind of leverage the YouTube golf space, I think was really smart. And in turn, like being able to participate in it was a lot of fun. And obviously Ticket, you and Bob kind of being right there through the whole tournament round and practice rounds and stuff. I think that's a little bit, very different golf than what we do on a weekly basis. Kind of have to get into a different mode and, there's a lot of ups and there's a lot of downs and you got to like manage that stuff. It's easy when bad things happen to like spiral. But it was a tough golf course. There were a lot of great players and I enjoyed it. Unless they keep doing this stuff and inviting me to it, I'll never be one round away from the PGA Tour, which is pretty freaking crazy. That our space has kind of opened up opportunities like that. And the response so far to the video they put out is, it's doing very well on YouTube and it's been a cool thing to watch. So, did you guys have fun through it? Like caddying it?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Cause I've never experienced like a competitive, like a tournament like that and being in it. My whole thing was just stay the fuck out of the way. Like I was just trying to be very cognizant of like lines and it's just like, just stay the fuck away. A tough scene was on maybe the fourth or fifth hole. It was a par three and they let you use the gun. So Super Tony was like, what's the yardage? And I was like, I'm looking at this thing. I'm like 210. And I just, we kind of look at it. He goes, can't be 210, Bob. And I was like, nah, it's 210. He takes it, guns it. It's like 175.
Yeah.
And like, I felt bad. Like it was funny as shit, but at the same time I felt bad. Cause it's like, you don't want to be, it's the last thing you should be worrying about is that. So I kind of felt bad, but it was so fucking funny. I mean, it
did you ask him yardage after that?
I think from the first tee, I definitely had like an eye, like I had a bit of an audit eye on the things that he was saying. So I was always a little cognizant and you can't go out there as a player and just blindly like whatever you say, I'm not even going to think twice about. Like you got to be like seeing the same thing. And there's a difference in your eye between like how far the trees behind a green are and a green. Yeah. So like if you would have said 210, I just got up there and was like, I don't see it, but okay. Like that doesn't work.
Yeah, the other caddies too, like you could see them like talking to their player about the reads and stuff like that. And like even the guys who are like on the Corn Ferry, like those guys, they're like pretty legit caddies and like they'd be talking about it and then I would just be on the side like with Poppy just like shooting the shit and like, Perez would be getting his own lines.
Bob would like get the pin on the greens and when he said like get the fuck out of the way, he would literally like walk off the green. He's standing 10 feet off the putting surface with the flag just by my bag. Oh my. Just like I don't know like where I'm going to stand. I don't know where I'm supposed to be, but I know this over here is fine.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I really want to stay away, but it was funny too. And I think it might have helped. Like, if Perez hit a bad shot, like, at first he would be pissed, and then he would come walking over by me and Poppy, and like, we'd be talking about the most ridiculous fucking thing.
Yeah, that definitely helped. I'll say that. That definitely helped.
It's nerve wracking to caddy. Like, especially if, like, it's like, that's a serious thing. Like, when I had to caddy, I had never done it before. When I caddied for Josh and he's asking me for like the reads, there were times where it was like, it's nerve wracking because you don't want him to like follow your read and then completely totally. Miss the putt. So like, you know, sometimes I'd be like, okay, well, what do you see? Like, this is what I'm seeing. And like, what are you, you know, cause I just, it is nerve wracking to your point. You don't want to be like, you want to help, but at the same time, you don't want to bang your guy. So yeah, I can gauge why you would have done that, Bob. Cause there was times where I was caddying and I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Or like there's times where he'd be in the bunker and he'd shoot it onto the green and then you have to rake the bunker, but then you have to go up and like clean the ball and like place and look. And I was like freaking out, like how am I going to get there in time and trying to like go fast? Like there's a lot to it.
Yeah, it was different too. I was nervous for Perez in the sense of it's such a long course and it's just, it's intimidating. You see those guys out there, it's serious shit.
Yeah. I mean, there was even when we played in the practice round with some of those like pros, there's just a clear difference between those guys and their game and their distance. And these guys are still trying to make it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You play with some people that are like aspiring pros and it's the best player you've ever seen in your life and they're not good enough. And it's pretty crazy. It just tells you like that next level to the PGA Tour and then like a Scottie Scheffler who's dominating the PGA Tour, yeah. How much better a guy like that is than like I'm probably closer to those like tour pro guys that were playing in it,
yeah,
skill level than they are to Scottie Scheffler.
What do you think that's how it is, like
that's how crazy that shit is.
What do you think it is when you get to that next level, because all these guys are skilled, is it just confidence and just like, right?
Yeah, I mean like they all
mental game,
like they all have, like if they all hit at the same distance they all pretty much have all the shots.
Yeah,
it's like the confidence to hit the shot, it's the experience, yeah, like this, it's really just belief and like and just like kind of killer instinct, mental management. Like a lot of it's not the golf anymore. Like these guys, like there's plenty of guys that hit it. Like Scottie Scheffler doesn't like necessarily bomb the ball.
Yeah.
Like he hits it a good ways, but he's not like known to be like a crazy long hitter necessarily.
Do you think you're closer to Scottie Scheffler than Bob is to you?
Damn, dude.
Jesus.
No, no. It's not even like a shot. It's like a serious. No. I could use Cutsy also. I'm saying.
No, because I mean.
I'm saying they're closer to you than you are to.
It's a good question.
It's
a
great debate here.
If you look at it like a handicap, if you look at it like handicap wise, if we're going to call these guys 14s and I'm like a scratch or a plus one.
What's he like? So a plus eight, like, plus seven?
They're 14, 15 strokes away from me in theory. If I got 14 or 15 strokes from Scottie Scheffler, I should be able to compete. Because they're like, he's probably 9 or 10 strokes better than me.
Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, that's
wild. Yeah,
I mean, if you go hard. Out to shoot a regular round. Like
if you talk about tour pros, they'll always say like, oh, these guys are like plus 6, plus 7, plus 8.
Right.
But I don't know if that's true. Because like, if I go play the tees that they play from, they're going to beat me by more than 6 or 7 shots.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Right? Like a good round of golf from a tournament tee for me is going to be like breaking 80. Like if I can shoot 79 on like a tour course,
it's so long.
They can shoot 69 like it's no issue. Mm-hmm. They can shoot 65, 64. Now we're at 15 strokes. It's probably pretty damn close.
I think it is close.
It's pretty close.
That's crazy. The cool thing, I mean, the reason why I asked you is because like you'll see sometimes like some of these pros will be like in a funk or like they won't be doing well. And then all of a sudden like a Billy Horschel will go shoot 63 and win a tournament.
They still have it.
And it's like,
man.
So they have it. It's just a manner of like, everything coming together. And I think the thing with if we watch Scottie at the Masters, it's like there's no point when he ever goes to a shot that you feel like he doubts that he's going to make a good shot. Like he has so much confidence that it's just like you said, it's almost believing that you're never out of the hole, you're never in a bad spot. It's almost like he always feels like he's gonna come out on top.
I also think he doesn't, like with the footwork and stuff and the way that he swings the ball, it's pretty clear that a lot of his game is feel,
yeah.
Right? Because his feet don't even slide in the same way necessarily as they like do every time. So like, to me, like some of these guys that get hyper technical and like positions and stuff, even when they feel like they're a little bit off, it can like be like, I'm not perfect right now. So I'm not like, even they, I don't know. I feel like they don't have necessarily, they can't just play the game a little bit because they know in the back of their mind that everything's not perfect. Yeah. Where with him, he's just kind of moving the ball around anyway. So even when his shit's maybe just a little bit off, it just feels like he can game it. Yeah. Like a little bit more than like a guy that like goes in the week feeling like they're not swinging well. And like if you come in the week and that's your mindset, you're probably not going to win. Yeah. Right?
Dude, I wanted so badly. I wanted Homa to win that. I really didn't. He was right there, but you were watching Scotty. You just knew the guy was never going to falter. It just,
he's lights out right now.
It was too tough.
It had to, going back to the tournament, the queue, it had to be cool seeing FP in that environment though, because we're so used to seeing him play with us and like do what we do that it had to be kind of cool to see him within a tournament like structure. I kind of honestly think like, I wonder like sometimes like if you or I were in like a situation, like how bad we would shoot. Cause there's so much mental, like you don't be like, oh, that's good. Like you have to finish every putt. You have to play every hole. You have to like you have to overcome a lot within one round of golf.
FP kept saying how much of like an underdog that he was. And because of the distance, my thing from what we see, I'm like, well, if he plays his A game, he's going to have a shot. But and you could have, but when you go to the tee box, when we showed up for that practice round, and these kids, a lot of the Korn Ferry kids, they, Prez hits a driver, and he hits what I thought was a good drive out there. Then these kids take these three woods, and you see this thing come off the club and how far it's going. That's when I realized what you were saying, that it was going to, like, he would have to play, because they just hit it. So it's insane. I mean, they just, you remember those three woods they took out just right out of the gate? And just, yeah. Bob.
I was always hitting driver on one. There was never a thought. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm watching back on some of the other groups, dude. These guys have like driving irons. Like, I think I hit driver 6 iron on the first hole, right? And they're hitting 3 iron. Even if they're right with me in the fairway at the same length, they're two irons like shorter than me. They hit 8 irons where I hit 6. So it's like, jeez, they already hit it further and then they hit their irons further. So if I'm driver 4 iron, they're going to be driver 9 iron.
Oh my
God. Because they're already up ahead and they already hit it. So it's a difference of like you going out and playing the tips versus like the forward tees.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It was really cool to watch you in that atmosphere, though. Like to see you in that competitive nature. It was really cool to see you dial in, talk a little bit more about golf, sort of the way you did in the first FP Verse episode when we talked about how you warm up and how you play and sort of what you're thinking about, like getting into your brain. And one of the most impressive things I thought, I was really proud of you, not that you need me to be proud of you, but I was really proud of you that like if you maybe had a bad shot or you missed a putt or something like that, I was really nervous walking into it that maybe you'd start to spiral and we'd lose you a little bit. If you missed a putt, we were talking about what the best beer is, airport beer that, you know, as we're walking to the next hole, or we're talking about that woman who she takes all the kids into the school bus and she flies into the other children. You know, you were still joking. You were still joking around. What was her name?
What was that?
You were talking about that woman who it was on a TV show where the kids
Miss Pressel.
Miss Pressel. Yeah.
What a psychopath, by the way.
Exactly.
Just taking kids, other people's children, shrinking them into tiny little people and sending them into other students' bodies.
Extremely
in a magic school bus.
Really, Miss
Frizzle. Yeah, Frizzle. Miss Frizzle.
The magic school bus.
What a psycho, dude. Lock her up.
These guys were locked in on the queue, just going over every shot.
That's the thing about golf is like, especially in a tournament round that's like probably going to be 5 hours, you can't focus for 5 hours like that. It's impossible. Like you don't have enough energy for that. So you just need to focus like, when you get up to the ball, you focus on the shot, you focus hitting the shot, and then you like the perfect world is then the walk up to the next shot, you're not thinking about golf anymore. Because what if you were trying to stay locked in, like what are you fucking locking in on?
Yeah.
You don't even know what your next shot's gonna be. You're just gonna tire yourself out. So you wanna talk about, that's the best caddies when you see them, like you're talking about golf for sure, but it's also the hang. Like you gotta have, that's why like the personalities between a pro golfer and a caddy is just as important as like how good that caddy
sure.
is. Yeah. You got to spend time talking about yeah. fucking what's for dinner tonight. Because you know Tiger's the only one that I can think of that like felt like he locked in start to finish and didn't have any of that bullshit. But that's so hard to do.
Yeah, you know, this guy couldn't gun a yardage, but he brought the vibe.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dinner talk.
You know, I knew that from the get-go.
You know where I had too much? I mean, yeah, that's what you wanted.
That's what I wanted.
Where I had too much fun was the driving range I treated like a cocktail hour.
Yeah,
because like all the other YouTubers were there. Like I was really enjoying that.
Bob's trying to book collab weeks and stuff, dude. Just milling around.
Dude, the way you were moving around that driving range was as if Obama had just shown up and was there to hang out. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah,
he was looking for votes. Can I touch your vote?
I really enjoyed that. You know what? It was
like a goddamn popularity contest. Yeah, guy was trying to win class president, dude.
I hadn't met Pete Finch yet. I was really enjoying it. Totally forgot about Perez's bag. I was having a ball. I mean, there were so many people in our industry that I wanted to chat with, and those to me was the greatest. And then you show up to the first tee, and it gets real serious. But yeah, the driving range was great.
Callaway sent that staff bag. That fortunately for you arrived like after the round to the golf course.
Oh, you
otherwise you would have been lugging a staff bag around.
I got lucky in the sense of for that, and I really thought that I'd be fine with the 18 holes with the bag. I thought it would kind of be light work for me. Got a lot of respect for these caddies that put 4 days in straight. You know, five days.
We
when
were
you
talking a big yeah. wave. 7 days they were at the Masters, and they have to wear those like potato sacks.
Dude. Tell you, man,
and it's hot as shit. And the elevation
course,
FP and I saw on 18. You're walking up like this. Those ginormous bags.
Almost died.
But you're walking up and it's like the elevation, it's not a walk in the park. The next day my legs were sore.
I said to Poppy, we were on like hole 15 or 16 and I was like, one more to go, Pop. And he's like, Pop, we're on 15. I'm like 15 or 16. I really thought there was one more after that. But yeah, so that video is going to be coming out Friday, so you know, head on a swivel for that. Head on a swivel for the Breezy Opens that are going to be coming out. Pumped to get those rolling back out. We have a blast with all of those. So we love you, folks. We appreciate you. That's been another edition of the Bob Does Sports Podcast. Fresh content on the way. We love you.